Welcome to Psyched Up, a show that provides both answers and solutions to the most pressing psychological issues and problems in the field of psychology today. Psyched Up, where each new show will feature expert guests tackling the most pertinent problems in the field of mental health, is brought to you by the Suffolk County Psychological Association, which has been serving the public for over 50 years. Psyched Up, psychology at its best. Now, here's your host for today's show.
Hello, this is Dr. Howard Gurr, and I'm your host for Psyched Up, the podcast of the Suffolk County Psychological Association. Today's topic is on eating disorders, and our guest is Dr. Laura Ellick. Before we get to the topic, let me give you some background about Dr. Ellick. Dr. Ellick is a New York State licensed psychologist with extensive experience in working with clients with weight issues, obesity, and eating disorders. As a previously certified personal trainer, Dr. Ellick is familiar with the issues and bad habits that prevent clients from maintaining motivation over time. She helps clients identify doable goals that can be achieved and maintained without relying on the diet mentality. Dr. Ellick received her PhD in clinical psychology from St. John's University in June of 2000. She currently works as a senior psychologist for the Center for Weight Management at the North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System in Lake Success, New York. In addition, Dr. Ellick maintains a private practice and consulting business in Kings Park, New York. Welcome to Psyched Up, Dr. Ellick.
Hi, I'm very glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Today's topic, as I said in the introduction, is on eating disorders.
Yes.
And you are a specialist in eating disorders.
Yes, I am.
So let's start out with a simple question, such as, what is an eating disorder?
Okay. It's a simple question that actually has become a little bit more complicated as we go along. You know, there's sort of the official DSM diagnostic criteria for an eating disorder, and then there's more of the casual, more of a continuum approach, which I tend to take. So, you know, in my mind, an eating disorder really is diagnosed by looking at dysfunctional attitudes, behaviors, cognitions, thoughts related to food and eating. According to the DSM, they would say, you know, that the top major eating disorders are either anorexia, bulimia, and the new one that they've been talking about, the binge eating disorder, which hasn't really gotten its own official diagnostic category yet.
So it's kind of like when people think of an alcoholic, they think, oh, the alcoholic is the guy sitting on the sidewalk drinking a beer in a bag.
Right.
When in fact, alcoholism might have a variety of variations. And you look at alcoholism as a function of how disturbing it is to the individual's life and the people around them.
Absolutely. Especially you see that with women. You know, in doing a lot of my research for my dissertation, what I really came up with was the idea that, you know, a lot of dieting and abnormal behavior is normative for many of the women in our culture. So you really have to look at to what extent, as you mentioned, it's disturbing to the lifestyle, it has a negative effect on your ability to hold a job, maintain relationships, all of those things that indicate good functioning.
So when eating becomes intrusive in your life, it's not just eating, it interferes with it, many facets of your life, then you might have an eating disorder.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what causes that? What causes an eating disorder?
I mean, there are multiple causes for eating disorders. When we're looking at, you know, the main ones, anorexia, bulimia, we definitely are seeing a genetic link. There has been some talk recently about the connection between anorexia and obsessive compulsive disorder. And really, there's a link when you're doing the treatment. A lot of the anorexia-type behavior is very OCD-like. A lot of rumination about food and eating, a lot of obsessive, rigid-type behaviors related to eating. I have to only eat this particular food at this particular time, and it causes me great anxiety if I can't do that. So definitely we see the genetic link there. Also, you know, I kind of like to say genetics loads the gun and then environment shoots it. So you're really looking at, okay, what kind of culture are we living in right now, which sort of idealizes this body image as thinner is better, thin is good, thin means that you're in control. You know, you're looking at that. And also there's some stuff, a lot of research still talking about, you know, what sort of family environment you're growing up in, what are the stresses there? Did your mother especially have issues with food and eating herself? There's still the stereotype of the very controlling mother and the passive father. And while I don't necessarily see that so much, I do see a lot of family dysfunction, and an eating disorder really becomes sort of the major coping strategy for dealing with that.
So it's the individual's ability or style in handling the stressors that they live with. But is it also possible, as you said, that if an eating disorder is in the genetic makeup, that the mother had some kind of OCD-ish kind of quality that then got translated and may have exacerbated the potential to have an eating disorder?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have a mother at home who has her own OCD type stuff around food, her own dieting behavior, a lot of what we see is just observational. Girls come in and tell me about their mother's funny eating habits. And this is where we talk about the continuum. While the mother may not necessarily have a diagnosable eating disorder, she's certainly doing some odd things with her food that the daughter has picked up on.
Mm-hmm. Right. In terms of the environment that we live in, the media, the focus on really thin individuals in modeling and in TV and movies, does that really have an influence on subsequent children and girls and even boys having eating disorders?
I find the media's influence to be deadly. One of the things that, you know, a lot of my patients come in and talk about is they all mention Nicole Richie. She's the big one who comes up.
Well, she's not the big one.
Well, absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's the problem. Talk about her, talk about Lindsay Lohan, all of these girls. You know, the media is a very powerful influence for teenagers. And what we're actually seeing is, you know, they are tapped into this through Facebook, MySpace, all of these pages. These kids are online 24/7, and they're mm-hmm. seeing these images projected day by day by day. And there's definitely an influence there. I hear it from my patients all the time. I just wanted to lose a little bit of weight so I could look more like so-and-so, and then the diet went out of control.
You know, I have some people in my practice, actually guys, who have what I consider eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And several of them were either former athletes mm-hmm. or they were very competitive bodybuilders. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to how they eat and how they deal with food, it really clearly to me sounds like they also have an eating disorder. So are the males the forgotten people in this particular disorder?
You bring up a really good point. One of the risk factors that they often talk about in, you know, who's at risk for an eating disorder, athletes are way up there, especially mm-hmm. with the sports where there's an emphasis on body size, shape, physique. So you see it with, you know, in the girls, you see it with gymnastics, figure skating. Being light is certainly helpful in those arenas because you're doing flips and being lifted and stuff like that. In men, what we're really seeing is the wrestling, cross-country track, the bodybuilding. Absolutely, you see that. I have had male wrestlers who have come in who have developed bulimic type behaviors because I guess they have to make weight, and the only way they do that is either to binge or they binge and then throw up. It's very, very deadly. And what I've noticed is, you know, men have more shame about coming in and talking about eating disorders because it's viewed as being a female illness,
right?
Which obviously is not the case,
right? But that's what the media has presented.
Exactly.
We have to take a break for a little public service announcement, and we'll return in a minute with Dr. Ehrlich, and we're talking about eating disorders. And we'll be right back.
The following is a public service announcement. The Suffolk County Psychological Association, a professional association for psychologists in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. SCPA's mission is to promote the profession of psychology in Suffolk County through fellowship, education, and advocacy. Our members provide a wide variety of psychological services to individuals, couples, and families, including psychotherapy, counseling, and evaluations in their private practices, schools, hospitals, clinics, and universities. Our website has a searchable database to help you find a psychologist near you, one who treats a specific kind of problem, is in your insurance plan, or provides a specific type of treatment. In addition, the Pro Bono Committee has a list of psychologists who have volunteered to treat people without insurance for a reduced or no fee. For more information about SCPA, go to suffolkpsych.org. That's SUFFOLKPSYCH.org.
And we're back. And this is Dr. Howard Gurr, and I'm talking to Dr. Laura Ehrlich about eating disorders. We've discussed what an eating disorder is, what causes eating disorders, the influence of genetics, family, and the media on eating disorders. So we now know who might have it. The question, Dr. Ehrlich, is how is it treated?
Well, because eating disorders are so complicated and there's so many factors involved, you want to take a multidimensional approach. So first off, you want to make sure that you get medical clearance, especially for anorexia and bulimia, where the consequences of starvation or binging and purging can really be quite deadly and dangerous to the body. You can suffer cardiac arrhythmias, things like that. So you want to work very carefully with a medical provider. Also, I see in the clients there's a tremendous lack of knowledge regarding nutrition. So you want your client to hook up with a good nutritionist and really teach them what the body is capable of in terms of calories taken in, carbs, fats, all the foods that have generally been labeled bad by the media, everything in moderation, that sort of thing. And, of course, there's a psychological component, which includes individual counseling, teaching someone better coping skills. And instead of maybe throwing up when they're stressed, they learn to exercise or do something more productive. Seeing the family is important in the context to work through some of the family issues. But I often find that so many parents are so confused about eating disorders that I will meet periodically with the parents alone just to answer their questions, how to deal with what the patient may be doing at home, manipulating the parents with the food. And a lot of the clients who I see often need the group treatment too, just to get some additional support and to find that, you know, they're not alone. They're not struggling with this issue by themselves. And of course, as we're talking about this, these are people who are stable enough to be dealt with on an outpatient basis. If someone is really seriously medically compromised, then you want to be looking at an inpatient treatment first before they even see you on an outpatient basis.
Mm-hmm. How successful is treatment for eating disorders?
Unfortunately, not too successful. Well, I have to be a little bit more optimistic. It's a mixed bag, really, depending on how quickly someone can get to you. Obviously, the longer the disorder has gone on, the more ingrained the habits become and the harder it is to treat. I read a statistic once, a rough statistic, that basically said one-third get better, one-third get worse, and one-third stay the same. A lot of professionals won't treat eating disorders because they are so complicated and they are so hard to treat. So even getting effective treatment is very, very difficult from the outset. But you're really asking somebody to do the thing that they fear the most. An anorexic, for example, to get well, they have to gain weight. And that's the greatest fear. So you're really working against that from the very beginning.
Okay. Where is appropriate treatment for eating disorders? What are the places or where would someone search for an appropriate therapist or program?
There are a bunch of websites, a bunch of national organizations, which are really great. There's the National Eating Disorder Association. That one's fantastic. They have a branch out in Long Island. They have a great website. There's a fantastic website called somethingfishy.org, which is actually run by someone who had an eating disorder. Those are two of the biggest ones that have treatment providers. But what you really want to do is when you're looking for a treatment provider, you definitely want to call them and you want to find out what is your experience with eating disorders, what percentage of your practice is eating disorders. These are such difficult illnesses. You want to make sure that someone has a team in place that they work with. Asking those kinds of questions can make you more comfortable with the idea that someone is actually experienced in the field, not just seeing one or two patients every once in a while.
So Dr. Ehrlich, I have this sensitive question. How do you approach someone who you think might have an eating disorder, and how do you get them to see their issues and problems?
Very, very carefully. As we spoke about before, there's a lot of shame surrounding eating disorders. Definitely more surrounding the bulimia because of the vomiting. There's such a negative connotation associated with that. It's a very, very difficult issue. You want to really approach the person sensitively and speak more about your concern for their health status rather than you're disgusted by the behavior or you are, you know, really upset that they're doing something to hurt themselves. That can send off more defensive signals that they're doing something bad. It's often more helpful to say something like, I notice you've been struggling recently. I'm wondering what's going on. Is there something I can do to help? And of course, as we said, in treating these disorders, you're working against their biggest fear, which is getting fat. So people are not going to seek out treatment very easily. Oftentimes they get into treatment because something happens to them medically. The best thing a family member or friend can do is just be there, be supportive, say when you're ready for help, when you're ready for something, I will be there and help you find an appropriate provider. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of defensiveness involved in these disorders, for sure.
Yes, I understand. You have a practice out on Long Island?
Yes, I just moved from Huntington to Kings Park.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you also work at LIJ?
Right, the Center for Weight Management out at LIJ. Mm-hmm. And we deal mostly with obese and overweight clients there.
Okay. So you're all over the island then?
Yes, I am.
Is there any international organization that might be available? Because actually, some of our audience really is not in the United States. I mean, they're out in all over the world. So is there like an international organization for eating disorders? Or
there's the, I believe it's called the International Association for Eating Disorder Professionals. So I guess that would be IAEDP.org.
Okay.
I believe it is. And that's also another great organization. And it's great for professionals because they do a lot of training and certification.
Dr. Ehrlich, unfortunately, we're out of time. But I want to thank you for an informative show on eating disorders. And I hope that the information you gave us will be helpful to those who might have an eating disorder or might know someone who might have an eating disorder.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Until next time, this has been Dr. Howard Gurr for Psyched Up, the Suffolk County Psychological Association podcast.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Suffolk County Psychological Association. Want to hear more? Check your podcast directories, iTunes, or you can go to www.suffolkpsych.org for more information about Psyched Up, the show that provides both answers and solutions to the most pressing psychological issues and problems in the field of psychology today. Thank you for listening.